And welcome into the Thursday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Ian Safar. Joe Rex Road will be along shortly. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We got a lot going on the program here today. We got full reaction to Mike Borgonzi's press conference yesterday, which I thought was very interesting, but we will get into that. Predators head coach Andrew Brunette will join us at 7:30 here on the show. The Preds are back at it today here at home, taking on the Philadelphia Flyers. And our weekly visit with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up at 8 o'clock on the program here today. So we will get into all things NFL with Charles. Busy times at the NFL trading deadline. And we will get into the Colts and them offering a billion picks for Sauce Gardner, the Jets rebuild, and, of course, all things Tennessee Titans with Charles as well. Ian Safar, how are we doing? What's going on?
Good morning, Robert. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Missed you yesterday.
Thank you very much.
But doing good, thanks. Shout out to a YouTube listener. I can't remember the YouTube name off the top of my head. It was something I want to say it was like Have Fun or something. I'll have to go back and look.
Okay.
But my heat was out yesterday on my way in. I drove in, no heat. And he put in the YouTube chat, hey, you might have a little bit of a coolant leak there. So sure enough, I go out after the show and I look and my coolant reservoir is below the L.
Ooh.
So I drive over to the gas station, top it off a little bit, make sure I can make it home. Checked it this morning, still in the safe zone. So we got a slow leak somewhere.
Okay.
But it was enough to get me topped off. Go get me into the shop, and I got my heat back this morning. Shout out to the YouTube chat.
Yeah, I was about to say, you can't find anything better than our YouTube chat. Now, there's all sorts of information that gets covered in that YouTube chat.
So appreciate that to the listeners.
Just beautiful stuff from the YouTube chat. We appreciate you there on the program. Ian Safar getting things done thanks to the YouTube chat. We welcome in Joe Rexroad to the program. Joseph, good morning. How are you?
Hello.
Hello.
Did this have anything to do with your double computer situation, Joe?
Well, kind of. I was like, okay, can we start to make this a single computer situation? But, now I'm realizing that I can't. Because, especially with this, I don't think that this microphone can work with the new computer. So I guess I'm just doomed to be a two-screen person forever.
I kind of like the sound of that. I kind of like the idea of Rex Road carrying around two computers with him at all times.
It is a good workout. The sucker's heavy,
Yeah.
Walk around with both of them, big power cord. You got the mic in there, box.
Look at the biceps on Rex Road. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, man. It's all part of my plan.
I guess so. Mike Borgonzi addressing the Titans media yesterday in the aftermath of the NFL trading deadline, said a lot of things. They talked about a lot of different things yesterday. We went back to the Jarvis Brownlee trade, went to the overall long-term vision of the franchise. It was the Brinker-Borgonzi discussion was brought up again. So a lot of things that were hit on yesterday at the Mike Borgonzi press conference. Joe, before we get into some clips here, let me start with this, which I have not been able to say about a Titans press conference very often over the last few years. I actually thought he did a really good job. I thought it was pretty well done by Mike Borgonzi in terms of, there was not really a whole lot of beating around the bush. He opened it up with his statement about how much he realizes that the fan base is sick of things right now and the way that things are going on. And he kind of leaned into that and talked through that and all these things. I got to the end of it, Joe, and I was like, wow. I think Mike Borgonzi did a really nice job for himself in this press conference here, which I have not been able to say very often about a Titans press conference over the last few years. So I felt like it was appropriate to point that out. Well done, Mike Borgonzi, yesterday.
Yeah, I thought he was good. And I thought that there's obviously just a huge difference when it's just him. And I think it's just, when it's Brinker and Borgonzi, when we have Berserker, going up there with Jay and Silent Bob, I feel like it's almost like in the past, it's like he's not sure, you know, does he, you defer to Brinker, and then Brinker sometimes will be, all right, go ahead, you take the, it's just kind of like, yes. You know, it's kind of like you don't know, you know, you don't want to overstep, and you don't want to, and you're, you know, Brinker's talking. I just feel like letting him have his own was a good move. Now, again, I mean, I know immediately I saw Stilly tweeting, like, what does Brinker do then? You know, yeah. It's like you're going to complain no matter what. But I think this is the way to do it. I mean, and I understand. I mean, if you consider Brinker, I know it's not exactly the same, but like Steve Underwood, for example, right? One of the greatest mustaches of all time.
Yeah.
And a very good figure in this franchise's history to me. Yeah. It's not like he was out there. Like sometimes he would be out there, right, for big things. But for the most part, you know, whoever the GM of the moment would be, right, would be talking, or the coach. And I think that's how they should proceed with this, for the most part. Because, yeah, I agree. I think Borgonzi, just it's his thing. It's his deal. He's going to speak to it. And I thought that he actually gave quite a few good answers.
Well, this is what, you know, Kuharsky said this on Twitter yesterday, or X, excuse me. Quote, standard for Titans press conferences is low, but Mike Borgonzi was articulate and authoritative on important matters. Further shows me he's the best football person in the building. Should be lead decision maker on the coach. This is what PK had to say. Speaking of the coach, the coaching search did come up in the press conference yesterday, and Mike Borgonzi briefly touched on that. Here's what Borgonzi had to say on that front.
How much input will you have in the selection of the new coach, talking, working within that framework?
Yeah. Good question, Harry. You know, we're in the process with it now, but, you know, one of the things that me and Chad have talked about too is, you know, the GM and the head coach work together every day. So I think it's imperative that that we make this decision, who's the best leader of this organization coming forward. I know I don't want to touch on the head coaching topic, but I do want to mention this though. But, you know, me and Chad have had conversations, and it's important that, you know, it's a fit, not only fit for the organization, we want a leader here. I don't care if it's defense, offense, that they have a working relationship with the GM, myself. You know, we'll come together, we'll make the best decision for them.
So I found that kind of interesting, Joe. A couple of things there. He talked about the leadership part of it, and he doesn't really care if it's defense or offense, which I've said multiple times needs to be the approach here. Like, you don't need to, like, pigeonhole yourself into one area heading into this coaching search. I think you need to be open to everything that's on the table out there. So it was good to hear that from Borgonzi. And, you could hear it there, kind of reading between the lines of he feels like the relationship specifically between himself and the next head coach, taking the Brinker part of all this out of it, and we know that Brinker's going to be involved in it, but the relationship between himself and the head coach is going to be pretty important on the next hire. So yeah. I hope that he's kind of the chief decision maker there.
Yeah. And I have no idea if, you know, how that'll go. I mean, I do feel like, Brinker said this multiple times, like the roster is his. And so, I think at some point it's like, okay, I just believe them. I mean, does Brinker still every once in a while say, nah, hold on, I got to veto this thing? I have no idea. He could, but it seems to me like the roster is Borgonzi's, and that's how they should do it. Yeah, the coach search, that's a good point. I mean, I don't disagree that it would that he should be the lead decision maker, but I mean, I don't know that that will be the case. I mean, I think what he said there makes sense for sure. And obviously they will be working daily, like he said. I mean, the coach, he talked about this a million times, but the coach, you know, in any NFL organization has to be very closely tied to all the personnel decisions. It's completely idiotic to do anything other than that. Whether whether they have quote unquote final say or not, they should have a ton of say. And I think that they do in today's NFL. That's important. But yeah, I mean, are we to the point where it's like his search and Brinker's staying out of all that too? I mean, I have no idea.
Well, I also couldn't help but think, and you know, sometimes I think this happens where maybe you read too much into what somebody says at a press conference and try to apply it to the previous situation. But it wasn't lost on me that the one thing he really talked about looking for in the next head coach that he clearly didn't want to discuss all that much yesterday was leadership, right? Like, we need a leader. And we've talked about this in the aftermath of Callahan. It feels like every time you fire a coach, you end up going maybe the opposite route with the next one. And that doesn't necessarily mean it has to be a defensive guy. But it did make me think of clearly throughout this whole thing, they have not thought that Callahan and his staff had enough leadership there. And I would bet that whoever they hire next, whether it's McCarthy, whether it's Saleh, whoever, that's going to be pretty important on their checklist there.
Agree. Yeah. I think you have to look at it like it's a little bit of subtweeting.
Yeah.
Even if it's unintentional. But look, it's no big surprise, right? I mean, the job, the big picture part of that job, the CEO part of that job, it just wasn't for him. He couldn't do it all. And so that's why I just firmly believe the next coach won't be like a Brady. It won't even be a I know that Kingsbury has been a head coach, but it didn't go well. You know, I think that now you could say the same thing about Arthur Smith, by the way, but I just feel like, yes, the leadership, that aspect, again, Saleh, I mean, I think is the embodiment of that, of those traits. But also I just feel like it will definitely be someone who has been a head coach and at least demonstrated the ability to do that. And I think that's smart. I mean, you may miss out on the next star, but as time goes on, you know, we are seeing a little bit more of like there's a lower hit rate on the Callahan model of coach in this league too.
When you say no Brady, do you mean Tom or Joe?
Yeah, I do mean Joe, but I mean, hey, if Brady can clone himself, he can be an announcer, an owner, a coach,
we got a male model. There's a lot of things we can get done around here.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably not far from just Brady's taking over the world.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We are off and running on the program here today. Lots more to get to from the Mike Borgonzi press conference yesterday, including his thoughts on another question about defining roles between himself and Chad Brinker. And he gave a little bit of detail on the Jarvis Brownlee situation as well. We'll get into all that. Coming up, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. The MTSU Blue Raiders will take on FIU this Saturday at 2 o'clock. Catch all the action on Totally Hits 93.3 with coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5 The Game, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mike Borgonzi, Titans general manager, addressing the media yesterday. And some takeaways to get to. Joe, including the Jarvis Brownlee situation that came up. It was the first time that Borgonzi by himself addressing the media since the Brownlee stuff went down. So he went into some detail, limited detail, about the Brownlee deal yesterday. Here's what Mike Borgonzi had to say on the Jarvis Brownlee front.
We are in constant evaluation mode here with players, with staff, and that comes – you know, with players, it might be talent, it might be scheme fit, it might be culture fit. You know, the word culture gets thrown around there a lot. So what do you mean by that? Well, it's the habits that we want to have with our players to create a winning culture here. It's the team first mentality, it's the accountability piece, it's the attention to detail piece. It's their willingness to work and get better every day. So that's what we're looking for when we're evaluating these players. And I know the first trade we made with Jarvis Brownlee was I'm aware of it. It was controversial around here because he's a young player that, you know, was ascending. And, you know, you're evaluating the fit. And without getting into a lot of details, I like Jarvis, and I think he's going to be a really good player in this league. We don't have the culture right now sometimes to help guys develop right now. And, you know, we thought at the time, you know, just some of the habits weren't conducive to building the culture right now. And I know it's hard to understand because he was a young player, and I wish Jarvis nothing but the best.
That was Borgonzi yesterday on the Brownlee situation. So Joey didn't go into like extreme detail there of exactly what he's talking about, but I did find it interesting that, you know, he kind of on his own brought up, like, I know Brownlee been very controversial around here, and the decision on the surface looks weird when you're talking about a young player and the way that that was handled. But went back to the obviously, you know, reading between the lines, they did not feel like some of his habits lined up with what they're ultimately looking for in the organization there. What did you make of Borgonzi kind of bringing up Jarvis Brownlee there and the answer that he gave?
Yeah, he brought, first of all, that was part of the very big opening statement. So, yep. it you know, he obviously knew he wanted to get to that. He got to it before anybody asked the question. I mean, I think he said more there than a lot of GMs would say, because he flirted with, he was right on the borderline there of, you know, kind of trashing him. I mean, he didn't, but I mean, he was careful. But I mean, we talked about it. We talked about it with Paul. We you know, other people too, and other people around the beat have talked about it. Obviously, there were some things Jarvis Brownlee did that the Titans didn't like, and he clashed, I guess, in some way with coaches, right? I mean, it seems that way. Didn't seem like he was maybe responding to some things, you know, wasn't improving in some ways, but obviously, you know, they didn't, I mean, look, they didn't think he was a culture fit. You know, the interesting thing about that statement, I thought, was right now this is not – like, basically the Titans don't have a good culture, so a guy like that can't be here. So, in other words, I mean, that's how I took it. Yep. Like, if they had a strong across-the-board leadership group, then a guy like that maybe has a better chance of, I guess, basically conforming to what they want, but they don't have that. I mean, that's kind of the part of how I took that. So, it wasn't just about him. It was about – where they are, which is also interesting, Robbie, because Borgonzi did spend, I think, multiple times yesterday talking about what a pillar Jeff Simmons is, yep, as a leader and things like that, which, of course, you know, certainly there's been some questions about that with some of the stuff he's done. And I guess, you know, an obvious question would be, well, if Jeff Simmons, this great player, you kept him, he's a pillar, how come if that guy's here, then a guy like Brownlee can't fall in line, for lack of a better term? I mean, I think it's a fair question to ask when you have those two statements in the same press conference.
Well, Brownlee quote tweeted a tweet from TD yesterday, mm-hmm, showing this clip, and just as a crying, laughing emoji face, and one of those emojis that's got the zipper on it saying that, hey, I'm keeping my mouth shut here. But I did find that funny. Jarvis Brownlee aware of Mike Borgonzi's comments and took to Twitter after those yesterday.
Very interesting. So, again, Borgonzi, I think, was careful. But at the same time, I mean, he gently threw him under the bus, right? I mean, he said out loud what we have been saying. I mean, I think everybody – it was no surprise for people who follow the team. But, I mean, in a lot of cases, I think the GM, I think the person in Borgonzi's situation would just say, yeah, we're not getting into that, right?
Yeah.
And he did a little bit. Now, I appreciate that.
Same.
And I think fans should appreciate that, because it's a willingness to shed some light and be somewhat transparent and say officially from the club what people around the club covering the club have said. I appreciate it, but I also, like, that's the thing. So even as gentle as he was, Brownlee found it and immediately dunked on it, right? And it's like, again, it's like with, like, no one has anything, as far as I know, that's like, oh man, that's bad. You had to get that guy out of here. But obviously they just didn't, like, at some point, it got to the point where it reminds me a little bit of Tier Tart, who is a good player still, and was a guy who was a really good find. And then at some point, Terrell Williams and Vrabel were like, we can't do it anymore. And it reminds me a little bit of that situation.
Yeah, I mean, again, like, he brought it up on his own yesterday, and it was another example, I think, of a good approach from Borgonzi yesterday. Rather than trying to get up there and just say as little as you possibly can, which, as we know, Joe, is how these things go sometimes. Like, that's largely what general managers and head coaches try to do for the most part. Rather than taking that approach yesterday, I thought it was good that, whether it was Borgonzi or somebody over there looking around saying, hey, let's take the temperature of our fan base here a little bit. Let's not just get up there and go through the motions of this press conference. Let's actually discuss some stuff. And I just thought that was a good approach for a franchise that too often has missed the mark over the last couple of years. And some of that has been just how some of these guards, like, you know, the end of Rabel. Like, Rabel was never going to be the guy, I guess now until he gets into New England, that was going to up there and just start divulging everything, so we know that. But I just thought the approach was really good for Borgonzi yesterday.
Yeah, basically the choice was, and I don't know, maybe Titans fans feel differently. You know, but I don't know, you'd think between one of my two computers I could figure that out. But I'll get there. But, you know, I think the choice there was, you know what, you give a little bit more to the people and risk pissing somebody off. Because, you know, I get why GMs also, like, there's no, you don't want to be the one throwing players on the bus. You don't want to be known for that. Like, in this league, it is still a recruiting league. You know, I mean, that free agency is still, you know, I mean, there sometimes it gets down to splitting hairs for players if people are offering the same money, you know. But I think it was the right choice to say, okay, let's get into this a little bit, very carefully and gently, but let's get. So I'm curious to see if fans appreciated that / the overall approach from him yesterday.
Yeah, Liam on the text line says, so that's what a competent football guy sounds like. I guess I'd forgotten. That's from Liam on the text line. So I think the larger reaction that I've seen from a lot of Titans fans, I think, kind of feels that way with how Borgonzi handled things yesterday. Mo says, I'm glad to see Borgonzi without Brinker. What do you guys think? Well, we're going to get into that coming up next. We'll get into the Borgonzi-Brinker part of this. Borgonzi was asked about Brinker and kind of the roles that they've got and gave an interesting answer. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. We'll have the best and worst things in sports coming up at 6:45. We'll take your best things, your worst things, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Discussing Mike Borgonzi's press conference yesterday, Titans general manager. A lot of different things that came up. We've gone through the Jarvis Brownlee part of it, the coaching search part of it. He also was asked by Stilly about the Chad Brinker part of this as well, and gave a very interesting response. Here's what Mike Borgonzi had to say when asked about Chad Brinker and what exactly everybody does around here.
That's a good question, and it's a fair question. And with Chad, you know, I can go back to when we were in Kansas City. There was a few of us that were on that staff there that ended up being 2-14, I think, that 2012 year. It was myself, Ryan Poles, Brent Tillis. Ryan Poles is a GM now. It's Bears. I'm here. Brent Tillis is a VP of operations with the Carolina Panthers. So what I'm trying to say is that, like, even though there's, you know, we were losing at the time, there's still really good people in the organization. I get the question. I do. And Chad is invaluable to me. Chad hired me, Amy hired me to really construct the roster. That's what they hired me for. And they empowered me to do that. And what Chad does is, you know, he has knowledge in scouting. He's got knowledge in the salary cap strategy. Chad is really smart. And Chad supports me with all the decisions that I make. And it's no different in every other organization. You can say the titles and who's above who. You know, it's the same structure in every organization. You got the GM, you have your, you know, VP of strategy cap, and then you get the head coach. And whatever title you want to give them, those are the three people that work together to make decisions. And there's no one person that, like, you know, if he's got the 53, this way, like, I'm going to go rogue and just make a pick. But they empowered me to make those decisions here, you know, to draft players, to sign players, to construct the roster. So fair question. I get it, Jared. But just to give you a little insight on that.
So how hard was that, Joe? Like, I don't know why we couldn't have done that before, but, like, I know we've talked about this with Kuharski, and he's talked about how, you know, he feels like it's Borgonzi's roster. And, you know, Chad Brinker, we've talked a lot about, you know, what exactly does he do around here. Chad Brinker's been around for a lot of the bad stuff that have gone on around here. But, I mean, you heard it right there from Borgonzi. Like, they hired me and empowered me to build the roster. And it's my draft. It's my free agents. This is me building the roster there. And I just don't know. I don't know why we couldn't have done this before yesterday.
But they have said that before, right? I mean, Brinker said that.
Not outright like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know.
They always get into the collaboration stuff. And, you know, we all
sure,
work together.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's fair. But, yeah, I mean, I thought that that was a good way to answer it. I'm a little disappointed that Ian cut off Jared's question. I was looking forward to hearing his sweet voice this morning. But that was a long answer.
Got to get Silly to work on cutting the question down.
Yeah, boy, that's a, yeah, among yeah, many
35
other things.
Seconds.
Yeah, 35-second question. Got to dial it in.
It was a 35-second question?
30-second question,
gotta
yeah.
Got to dial it in.
30, 35, good. Something like that, yep.
Good God, Jared.
It's like a Joe
Rexroth
type question. 30, 35 and, seconds.
Oh, let me tell you something. You know, I mean, yesterday, as I was fumbling around on microphone one, Katie just sent me a text. It was like, the show is bad. So let me tell you, years and years of her ripping sports writer questions in general, but certainly I have learned it's like quick, get in, get out. Don't answer yes or no question. Boom, bye. I mean, she has trained me very well.
It's good.
Maybe I should have her work with Jared a little bit, but I like the part there where Bergonzi's like, Chad's really smart. You know, I just want you guys to know Chad, yeah. He's really smart, but no, it was I think you come away from that. It's like, okay, this guy, it's his roster. You know, again, it is collaboration. But still, okay, whose roster? It's his roster. He's doing it. And again, so far, I mean, I think draft class wise, you feel like you see some scouting competence and some ability to, in the deeper rounds, bring in some players who can make a difference. I mean, obviously, though, his first draft class is about the number one pick, and the number two pick is, you know, that's going to be a big thing moving forward. But yeah, I think you come away from that thing, that answer too, just feeling like there's maybe there's a little more competence at hand than some people thought. But again, like let's also remember, you know, go back to the early days before we really started to see things unfold. I mean, Brian Callahan had tremendous press conferences, I thought.
Yeah.
Intelligent, insightful. And it's like, this guy gets it, man, you know? And of course, then you get into the, like, all the players, like, oh, we are able to express ourselves, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You know? I mean, it still comes down to let's see the product. Let's see what all of your work and talk and everything results in. But I do think as a press conference yesterday, that's probably the most encouraging one, probably since like the early days of hiring Brian Callahan, and everybody thought they had the next whiz kid as a coach of the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, like, again, there are limitations on what a press conference means, right? Like, it's at the end of the day, can he pick the right players or can he not? That's what it basically is going to come down to. I think if you're a Titans fan at this point, given how bad it's been around here, you celebrate the small wins when you can get there. And I thought he did a really good job yesterday, right? Like, I thought he did a really good job. And, you know, I know as somebody who obviously follows this very closely, I walked away with a higher opinion of Mike Borgonzi yesterday. And, you know, not that I had a bad opinion of him before. Like, you know, he hadn't been around long enough yet to really form an opinion. But I walked away feeling better about Mike Borgonzi running the show yesterday than I did, but you know, walking into it, which I think was probably the goal from the Titans yesterday.
Yeah. So again, I know some people weighed in, but is that how you Titans fans who are listening feel? I'm interested to hear that. And also, I really don't know. Like, did Stilley come away? Like, was he like, that's not bad, or was he scooping on everything?
I don't know. I didn't see.
Didn't see. Ian, you're nah. Still like babysitting him? No, at all.
No, I missed it. No babysitting. I got right. My own kids to babysit, so I don't get paid to babysit Jared anymore.
That's true.
God, it sounds like that sounds like a like you just the liberation must be just so you got to every once in a while pinch yourself and say, whoo, oh man. But in all seriousness, Jared, I know you're hate listening. Text me. Let me know. Did you like it? Or were you happy? Because if he was sold, right? I mean, that's a pretty high bar, I would say.
Jared from Spring Hill, different Jared, says.
Different Jared.
Just confirmed they aren't worried about winning anything anytime soon. Establishing a culture and developing a terrible quarterback into a competent one. So Jared from Spring Hill taking a different approach.
There we go. I was hoping we'd still. We're back. I mean, yeah. I mean, when it comes down to it, like you're still forced to watch this product every week. So
this is a low T alert.
I think a little bit of skepticism is warranted. You know, now do I establish? You know, I don't know that I totally agree with that outlook on it. I mean, again, culture is a very overused word.
Yeah.
The best way to establish a culture, I mean, yes, of course, you have to have like team first, accountability, all that stuff. But basically, do you have talent who can win games? Because when you have that, not that the intangibles don't matter, personalities don't matter, but when you have talent that can win, then all of a sudden people start feeling better about things and get along better because they don't lose every week, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a little bit of like chicken and egg on it, but I still would say like talent would be a huge part of that. And at times you can deal with some personality issues with someone who has tremendous talent. That's why AJ Brown, you know, did well here. And even though all that stuff is going on in Philly, they're not trading him. You know, and they might win another Super Bowl with him.
We'll see on Monday night.
Sorry to bring him up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a big one. That's a big one.
Brandon on the YouTube chat says, Borgonzi can get up there and say whatever. If Ward stinks, he's out. I mean, and there's probably likely some truth to that. But in the meantime, you got to build the rest of the roster around Ward. I mean, I did see some Titans fans talking about this on social media in the aftermath of it yesterday about how, see, Mike Borgonzi clearly thinks that Cam Ward's going to be a franchise quarterback. It's like, well, yeah, he's the one that drafted him. So it's not a stunning take that the general manager who drafted the quarterback yesterday, despite how bad things have gone in the first nine games, still believes in the quarterback. I would hope that he still does.
Yeah. So people are saying on here that apparently – Jared doesn't agree with the plan because he has this much faith in Cam, but like, yeah, what are you going to do at this point? First of all, realistically with Cam, I mean, to me, anybody who would be completely out of him, oh, he can't make it, is stupid. Again, I'm not saying they're going to end up being wrong, but I don't see how anybody could have a strong conviction either way on him. I really don't. And if you're Mike Borgonzi, yeah, of course your wagon is hitched to Cam Ward. And so that probably is going to end up being, as much as anything, the determining factor about your longevity here. But I guess if it was just terrible and we could all see, oh, yeah, he has no chance, then, okay, I still wouldn't expect Borgonzi to say that, right?
Yeah.
At all. I wouldn't expect him to say it. But I don't – if I were him right now, I'd be – it's like just – it's a lot of it is hope. Hope Cam's good, keeps getting better, and that obviously we have to do a better job of putting things around him. But that's all you can really do. Once you make that pick, that's what everything's about.
I got a lot of faith in the quarterback. A lot of faith in the quarterback up there.
You did not. I did not try to make the quarterback, but we must stick with the quarterback.
615-737-1025, our phone number. I want Mike Borgonzi press conferences for no other reason than that.
Did he say idea?
I don't think there was an idea yesterday. There was a few quarterbacks. there was a few quarterbacks that we had. It was good stuff. You know, every now and then the Boston accent comes out, and it's a beautiful thing.
I hope he's not intentionally avoiding the word idea. It's such a great
no. We need
like
more.
It's such a great regional word usage. You know, idea.
Warsh.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there you go.
Washington. We'll have the best and worst things in sports coming up next. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time! This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I believe in miracles. Yes! Unbelievable.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle, it's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is that time of the week. Time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, kick us off with your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Yeah, well, the best is, I hope, obvious. College hoops is here, baby. Let's go.
Who wouldn't have picked that?
I mean, I don't. And people who don't love joy, sports, life, ice cream, puppies. You know, that's all I can think of.
You're 100% incorrect.
I'm very excited about college basketball. We've already got some big, we've had some great game at Coapete for Arizona the other night. Fantastic. I mean, my goodness, a freshman. And he's like supposed to be like the eighth best freshman in the country. Got an incredible freshman class. Got Kansas, North Carolina tomorrow. Of course, you know, it's on ESPN, so who knows who might be able to watch the freaking game. True. That's another story. Maybe you have to get into that again later. But college hoops is here. Very exciting stuff. My worst is Blue Jays fans. And Kaharski said this yesterday. I didn't see where it was, but apparently someone was like, you know, it's really like the Blue Jays won, you know. Again, I don't know who said that, but like if you're a Blue Jays fan, I mean, you absolutely had it more than once. It was yours, and the freaking Dodgers end up winning the World Series. I feel for Blue Jays fans because, look, great run by that team, but there's no reason to necessarily think they'll be back here next year. They're one of a lot of good teams in the AL and not necessarily the most talented team in the AL. And so that's a killer.
Very nice. By the way, somebody's taking a shot at you. Jared on the YouTube chat says, new worst, saying hoops instead of basketball, directed at Joe.
I mean, sorry, man. Like, that's not going to change, so you just have to live with it. I've probably said hoops 10 million times on our show already, so
there's no doubt about that.
I don't know what to tell you, buddy. Like, you know, it's just part of the vernacular.
When I moved here, we used to call – well, everybody – when I moved here, I realized everyone calls it a basketball goal.
Really?
Yeah, they call it a basketball goal.
That's true.
Goal.
I mean, I guess that – yeah.
And I never really heard that term until I moved to the South.
Yeah.
It was always a – like, it was a hoop.
Yeah.
But anyways – just a side note there.
Maybe a geographical thing.
Yeah.
Or something you said in the 50s. That's weird.
It's far your best and worst thing.
Okay,
world
I'm going to go. Give me Nashville SC as my best in sports this week. They finally got the dub over Miami.
Have some of that, Messi.
Took down Lionel Messi. Take that, although I think he scored. But it didn't matter. So they forced a decisive game 3 Saturday night. So at least there's someone in the playoffs around here that's playing okay. That was a good bounce back. They looked really good. Give me Nashville SC as my best in sports this week locally. I'll keep it local here. And then worst, I'm going to have to go with some of these Preds overtime losses. You're talking about combined the Vancouver loss combined with the Minnesota loss.
That's a tough one.
I mean.
Tough back-to-back.
Those are, that's a couple of rough situations right there. So I'll go with that as my worst.
Yep.
And the whole knocking the whole goal, I know it's the rule. There's a lot of back and forth about this from really top level hockey people.
Yeah.
I mean, Pierre LeBrun and Mike Russo, your boy from The Athletic, covers the Wild. They're going back and forth. Russo kind of feels like a homer. But anyways, back and forth, just rough. So I'll do that as my worst.
Yep. Interested to get Andrew Brunette's thoughts on all that a little bit later in the show. We will do that coming up at 7:30. My best thing in sports, Alex Ovechkin reaches the 900-goal mark last night in the NHL. The first person, obviously, in NHL history to reach that mark. Joe, I'm not saying we'll never see that again because we probably will at some point, but it may be a while. I mean, it's incredible what he's been able to do, and this is probably going to end up being his last year in Washington. You know, I guess there's a chance that if they get really hot and, you know, make a deep run in the playoffs, does he get the itch to come back one more year? We'll see. But, you know, it's been a slower start to the year for him offensively than it was a year ago. But last night he reaches the 900-goal mark, and it was cool to see that. So good stuff on the Alex Ovechkin front there. It's funny.
Can I quickly throw in a sub-best on that?
Sure.
Jordan Binnington trying to stuff the puck in his pants and steal it. That was
I don't know if I can think of another goalie in the league that would have done that, but definitely him.
That was pretty good.
There is no doubt about that. I thought I may be alone on this worst thing in sports, but Mark from Ashland City has joined me on the text line, so I guess it's more of a prominent thing we thought. My worst thing in sports is Tennessee football getting beat by a dude kicking field goals in a thong. That's my worst thing in sports. Very short shorts from the Oklahoma kicker on Saturday night, and what did he do with them? Just sat up there and drilled 55-yarder after 55-yarder right down the middle. I mean, he made one of those 55-yarders, I swear, by half a yard. Like, it had been half a yard shorter, it had gone off the post. But there he was, just enough room with some of those air he was creating with the short shorts.
Yeah, like, how is that? Like that's got to – like, they got to address that, right? Like, how is that legal?
I don't know.
I mean, I know a lot –
I've never seen anybody do that.
Like, a lot of guys, like, you know, because you're supposed to be covering your knees, you know. I mean, I don't know how many people even wear the knee pads anymore, but, like
– Does he kick off? Yeah. Like, if – and
I don't know.
Does he have to make a tackle in those?
I would assume no. I would assume they've got another kickoff guy because, I mean, you're just asking for your knee to get blown off at that point if that's what you're doing. But I couldn't believe it. Like, Herb Street pointed it out in the broadcast, and I was like, look
at this
guy.
He was mad.
Look at this guy. And he just drills it right through, 55-yarder.
Lefty at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a great performance and yet looked ridiculous, you know?
Just embarrassing
for him, but. Yeah, that needs to be addressed.
Mark from Ashland City,
get involved.
Had that for his worst. The best thing is Chim DK. The guy is a baller, and us Titans fans need a little bit of hope. DK with another big play this past Sunday.
A punt return touchdown for the Titans, that could be.
Doesn't happen very often.
That is a candidate for a best for sure.
Yes.
2012.
Yeah.
2012, last time.
Does not happen very often. One texter says the best is vintage Russell Westbrook, a double-double in two straight games, and then a triple-double. Last night, I was previously unaware until the other day, Joe, that he was playing for the Sacramento Kings. So, good to know.
That's where careers go to be forgotten about.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Derek says, the worst is the Nashville Predators underselling their season ticket holders by selling tickets for 50% off. I have not seen that, but I'll take your word for it. Good to know. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We will get into Vanderbilt and the college football playoff coming up next. Some Vanderbilt fans that I've seen very concerned about the original college football playoff rankings. Should they be? We'll get into that. Plus, another thing with the college football playoff rankings that happened that frankly irritates me, and we'll get into all that as well coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.